Thank you, Miss Roberts. I'm so glad that is the truth she was singing. Amen. Everybody at one time or another begins to find out that their own strength is limited. And we will come to the end of it. But the good promise of the Lord to those that know the Lord Jesus is that we do all things through Him, which strengtheneth me. That was the theme of the song there. Good message in song. Open your Bibles to the book of Galatians this morning. Galatians chapter 3. I would love to deal with the whole chapter. Time would not allow, so I'm going to ask you to start in about verse 21 of Galatians chapter 3. It is back to school Sunday. I do count it an honor that Brother Parson said, okay, you started the thing. Now I'll let you have the privilege of preaching back to school Sunday. That's not the real reason. He is tied up with one of our mission churches trying to help him. He's got a big heart. Loves the Lord, wants to see things done right. And if you want to pray for Brother Parsons, his weakness is he's burning the candle at both ends. And I've been there myself. I know it when I see it. And I've said to him in love, I've said, Brother, I know how you feel, but you just can't do it all. And that is the truth. I do hope you are praying for him. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to go with the theme on back to school Sunday. In fact, I guess for the tape room, I'd say up there, put the title on the purpose here of the schoolmaster. Now, some of the kids might not understand what the purpose of the schoolmaster is and have some other ideas, but we'll go with the scripture this morning, Galatians chapter 3. Pick it up with me in verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. For you folks that think you're keeping the law, you ought to put that on your refrigerator right there. Verse 22. But the scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There's a couple of times here in the New Testament, here in the chapter I just read, where you have the word school mentioned. Of course, it's mentioned here as a schoolmaster. I believe it's around the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. You have a school mentioned, probably a Jewish school, which Paul went and preached in and contended in. We recognize the word school, and while it's a necessary word, a lot of young people say, why do I need school? You'll find out later why you need it. If I had a hand showing this morning of everybody that goofed off in class because they thought they'd never need it, they'd show you how wrong you are to think that today. And the truth is, early schools was in the Jewish homes. Homeschooling is not something new. It's something that's come out of necessity here in the last number of years, but it was the first schools to begin with. And it's an interesting thing, and I'm gonna do a little bit of a play on this word here, on the schoolmaster, just a little bit. If you look it up in the dictionary, the schoolmaster would say one that's the head teacher or one that runs the school, and all that's right for our day and time. But if you dig way on back, past your modern dictionaries, you'll find that the biblical word here on this schoolmaster thing goes far back as to the days of the Roman Empire, perhaps even into the Grecian Empire, and you'll find out that here's the way it was. A family responsible for their kids' education. See, God all the way through His Word tells parents they're responsible. Raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're supposed to teach them. It's not the government's job. It's our job as a family. And that's the way it began. And you find that in the Bible. For instance, This thing, schoolmaster, was often a slave, which we would call a servant, a faithful servant in the family, often a slave, often when their nation went to war, part of the booty of war was to come back with slaves, and people would buy the slave and use them, but oftentimes a slave began to run the household. You have the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. When he was in Potter's house, Potter turned almost everything over. I'll guarantee you his kids was turned over to Joseph too. So the slave master's job we think of sort of like this today. The slave master was responsible to get the kids to school. Really. Here's the way. He was what we kind of call a conductor. He conducted them to school. He was almost the chauffeur, which a lot of you parents would love to have. But he was responsible for getting the kids to school. That's what the taskmaster, not the taskmaster, but the schoolmaster was in the meaning here of where we're talking about. I want to think a little bit on Christian schools this morning, our school as well as schools in general. I want to think and get you to go back with me a little bit on what the schools of yesterday were. We all have memories, don't we? I'm not going to ask any confessions, but how many of you have only good memories? No, we had a few bad. I remember when the principal sitting in the office looked out the window and said, "Look at those ducks jumping off of that boathouse over there." And the other man in the office said, "Ducks, nothing, that's boys." And we all got caught for skipping that day. That was not the best memory. I got a lot of good memories of schools, and most of us have if we go back. And by the way, your reputation you created in school among your class members and your friends and the teachers, some of you still got that hanging over your head today. Isn't it good not to bump into some of the folks that remember sometime? But the schools of yesterday, of course, they were different. We think about what they were. Number one, they were locally controlled. That's the good part. The school was run by people that you shopped with, you went to church with, you lived side of. It was a local control. It was a culture that was productive and good. My dad was a farmer, but he was one of the few country boys whose family was able to send him to college. So he wound up not only as a school teacher, but a principal of a country school. And you know what? Everybody knew everybody. One of the dangers of my trouble was it might be my aunt teaching the class. So I didn't get by with much in those early years. The truth is that what local control was. Everybody was on the same page about what was right and what was wrong and what the goal was and all of that. And accountability was a very real thing in the early years here when we started the Christian school. I was blessed. We started on a shoestring and Brother Bert, it might be on a shoestring now, but it was a thinner shoestring back then, I'll guarantee you. And God blessed me to be able to have some folks help. I remember a teacher that I hired. She was retired from the public school. She was one of the best you could imagine. When I began to teach her, tell her what our curriculum would be, she said, "That's always been my curriculum. They never changed me." She was good. She was one of the best. One of the things she did was she had accountability of the students. And we heard the teachers testify on Wednesday night. Hope you did. We got a great staff coming. But I want to say to our teachers, learn from this. This old Methodist, she was Methodist, so she wasn't perfect, so Methodist, but anyway, she was a good lady. She loved the Lord. She was born again and believed the book, and she helped me. She helped me in this way. She made those kids accountable. If somebody acted up in class, they didn't get home to mama to tell mama before the teacher called mama. And so something was waiting on them when they got home. Because this teacher was ahead of them. She was always ahead of them, but they loved her to death. The families loved her to death. She was a great foundation teacher for our school in the beginning of those years there. It helped us so much. Well, the public school used to have accountability. It wasn't handled from Washington, D.C. or some other bureaucratic office. It was handled by the local people that knew what was right and what the community agreed on, and mutual respect was had from the families to the teachers, back to the families. Churches were respected. I remember going to school right here in a building that's still standing when we would have assembly. And I remember back in the late 40s and very early 50s, when sometime we'd have a missionary come speak in chapel. Can you believe that? And we'd have a preacher come. Or there'd be a quartet, a Southern Gospel quartet, that would come and sing. And a little bit that I knew from those days where it's good. It was not under attack. It was the right thing. And the local control was so good, and the mutual respect was so built. I remember when I pastored my first country church up in the North Florida farming district, how that the schools at harvest time gave off some legal days to miss school to help your dad get the harvest in. That went on in America for many, many years. I mean, a great mutual support, one of the other. And it resulted in building the greatest nation on planet Earth. Amen. That kind of foundation. We went through World War I and World War II because of the grit and training and character that was raised with that kind of families and schools in America. I think about General Eisenhower, who's given so much credit, and rightfully so, in World War II. I heard him say in one of the old newsreels, he said, we would come to a place in battle where something would stop us. And I did not have the answer. And he said, we didn't know what to do. He said, I'd turn it over to the GIs. I'd turn it over to our men. And with their grit and with their character and ingenuity, they'd solve the problem, we would go forward again. That was the foundation we had back then. Foundation that came from families and schools uniting to raise the young people in what was right and wrong, and according to what God said was right and wrong. And so I think about schools of yesterday like that, when patriotism was the normal thing. When saluting the flag was a daily thing you started classroom with. Saying the Lord's Prayer was as common as starting school. And most of the teachers I remember in those grades started off reading a verse from the Bible. Now I'll admit I didn't know much about it, but I had respect for it because it was shown respect. Amen. Now what are we missing today? All those things I just said. As we think on today's school, what are we missing? We're missing the local control. We're missing the local relationship that the early schools had. By the way, let me just inject this. Pray for our governor. There's a lot of pressure on him to compromise. He's trying to use good common sense. There's a crowd out there don't want the public schools to ever open. In fact, some of the teachers' unions want the teachers to sit home and draw a check without working. Help yourself. Now, thank God for good teachers, but they are handicapped even if they want to do right. But you got to remember, many of them were trained to do exactly what they're doing now, push the Marxist ideas that are being pushed on America. Today, the unions keeping schools closed and keeping curriculum that's being taught secret. Critical race theory now is in the news. That's a big propagated lie that is being pushed on our kids from kindergarten, even before kindergarten on. It's a terrible thing. And a secret curriculum. Did you see in the news, and maybe it didn't make the news, I guess it did, where this family in Rhode Island, this mother, see, here's something the COVID did that was good, the COVID fears. When the schools went online, a lot of parents begin to see online what they did not know before was being taught to their kids in school. I'm on the subject of school, so some of you can let your breath out. You don't know where I'm going. You're scared. Go on and unbuckle your seatbelt. We'll make it. One of the good things of COVID was that all of a sudden some things got transparent that was not transparent before. To see online what was being taught. So parents, thank God for a little bit of a grassroots movement now, parents complaining and saying, I don't want my kids taught that. So this mother in Rhode Island is now being sued by the school board, by the unions, because she only asked for them to show her the curriculum. So they're going to bluff her out, bully her out by filing a lawsuit against her. A mother, the kids in school. Now, I'm going to say to you, that's not American. That's not the nation that's supposed to be free, amen? What we're looking at now is big brother control everywhere that you look. I mean, they want the schoolhouse to become an indoctrination for Marxism. And that is what is happening in too many cases. An indoctrination center, socialistic Marxism, which leads into communism, which leads into nothing but total dictatorship and the destruction of a country like America.
Amen.
Total control by Big Brother. We just told you last week in Sunday school, last week they'd come out with, well, if you didn't get vaccinated, that you might not be allowed to travel. Passport on planes and so on. But most of us in our minds, as soon as they said that, we said, well, we're not going to fly anyway. We'll drive the old car. I mean, I thought that. So they got ahead of us this week. And did you hear this? They came out now giving orders to the manufacturers of the cars that the newer cars in a couple of years are supposed to have control in them to monitor you when you get in the car. It will not turn on. It'll analyze your breath. And if it's not good, it'll not crank up. In other words, it's a government machine you're fixing to go into that's going to give you permission whether you can go to town or not. I didn't make that up, folks. That's Kurt. Can you imagine? Go down and sit down in old Betsy and you turn the key in and the car speaks and said, don't like your breath this morning. Can you imagine that? I remember when a few years ago the Chrysler Corporation came out with these talking cars, a little tape in the car. You get in, shut your door, put on your seatbelt. I wasn't on one for nothing that talked back to me. I've talked to a few, but I didn't want nobody to know it. Amen. But anyway, can you imagine? Better not have onions for breakfast. You might not like your breath. Amen. I mean, it's going crazy. That's total control. Whether you get a driver's license, whether you get a tag, whether your car starts or not, that's down the road at the road we're traveling. We're traveling a high rate of speed at it right now. We're moving exactly that way. And all this socialistic Marxism is anti-Bible, anti-church, anti-morals. That's why the transgenderism thing's so big. How can you be so absurd and so dumb you don't know the difference in a man and a woman? That's where we move to. And how can you be so dumb to think that ladies want a man in the restroom with them pretending to be a woman? By the way, that's moving on in the prisons right now, real big time thing. All of this stuff is anti-Christ program, Marxism coming in on us like crazy. And the schoolhouse used to be an honored place. Do you know a lot of old-time revivals was preached in schoolhouse buildings? It was the largest place people could assemble. And I know of some cases myself. And what has it changed to? I saw this trend coming a long time ago. That's why we started the Christian school. We're talking about starting 50 years. It wasn't as bad as 50 years ago as it is now, but we saw some of the trends started. So we felt led to start the school. Our parents, we were not a big church then. And our parents said, preacher, what are we going to do? We just can't put our kids in some bad things that was happening at that time. So we stepped out on faith like everything else we've done here through the years. We stepped out on faith and God honored it and God blessed it and God's people sacrificed.
Amen.
To make it happen.
Amen.
It wouldn't have happened any other way. You think about it, I've seen our parents sacrifice to put a kid in Christian school. I've seen our church sacrifice to pay the bill. I've seen our own Christian school teachers pay tuition for kids in their class because they fell in love with wanting to help that child. The right reason. Kind of ironic. I thought about it when we was having the teachers meeting, Brother Bert, not the teachers meeting, the teachers' testimonies Wednesday night. I thought, now many of these teachers, they got saved, they were in a good church, they surrendered to go to college, they had to sacrifice to do that, they had to work every way they could and do without and all that to finally get a degree from a college. Only that to take that degree and get a job at a Christian school so they could sacrifice and do without. Right? Vicious circle, but what's the difference? Whole score's not in until God says so. Amen. Till one day they stand in His presence to give an account. Amen? No, the new school thing today is so horrible we can hardly live with it, hardly understand it. But it's here. It is here. But I want to say this. We've lost the schools of yesterday, except you go back to homeschooling or you go to a Christian school. Even if Christian teachers get a job in the public school, they're so limited, they're fenced in. Their hands are tied. They have to be careful that they don't speak politically incorrect, that sort of thing. But what is that going to lead to with the schools of the future? Well, all you got to do is look around and see. We're in the Orwellian age. That's what Orwell's 1984 has been here a long time. Big Brother government is on us. Thought police, what you're thinking, control, knowing about you, monitoring what you say, where you have the freedom to speak what you want to speak or whether or not you can put it online or not. All that right now is being monitored, monitored big. The schools of the future will be a total tool of a totalitarian state. Dictatorship is what it will be. We've seen that. If you want to see what it's going to be, if you want to see what it's moved into right now, go to Russia. Go to Cuba. Just look around. Russia, Cuba, China. You'll see little robots in the classroom. One of the saddest things, Brother Lee, you remember when we were over in Russia, was riding around some and in fellowship with the underground Baptist people in Russia. Some of those young people were college age and enrolled in college. And as we got to know them and fall in love with them as fellow Christians, one of the saddest things to me was when I would ask some of those young people, well, what are you going to be? What career are you following? What are you going to do? And it would be like a chill when you said that to them. I only said it a couple of times, and then I didn't want to embarrass them anymore. But here's the answer I would get. I'd say, you're in college, what are you majoring in? What are you going to be? And sadly, with the head down, well, we don't know. I said, you hadn't picked out anything. So, well, no, they tell us what we're going to be. It depends on what they think of our grades, what they judge of us. They assigned our career. They tell us what we're going to do. Folks, that is a thing we're heading to if something don't happen good in America before long. That's a heartbreaking thing to me. I mean, a young person ought to be able to grow up and make a choice and live free and make free choices. And I saw that, and we're talking about back in the 90s, Brother Lee, when he was over there. What America is now was not hardly dreamed of back when we were over there in the 90s, but it's moved that fast on us. And now people are being arrested and sued and prosecuted for things that nobody would have ever dreamed of anymore. Baker can't bake a cake for who he wants to. Homosexuals brought him into court, ruined his business because he refused to bake one for their wedding, that sort of thing. Schools of the future, you can see it in Russia and China. Betrayal of kids and families, that's been going on in those dictatorships for many, many years. That's what Jesus spoke of. He said a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Read it. We're there. Now, kids are taught the parents are the enemy. And this critical race theory is teaching them that you live in a terrible nation. That America is bad, not good. That's where we're at. It's sad, but that's where we're at. And kids report on families as they're trained. They do that in communist countries, and they will do it in America, and to some degree they're already doing it. Now I can give you some cases of it, no doubt about it. So the betrayal age is here, and Jesus warned us about it. It was used by Hitler. The kids were taught from very young age to turn in the parents if the parents was not following the agenda that Hitler laid out. That was going on. So what we are now, and I've been teaching in Sunday school, the Antichrist kingdom. We're seeing it everywhere we look, how it's building, how it's almost on us. I could go on this. I'm talking about back to school Sunday. Pray for our Christian school. Pray for our teachers. I want to say something to you. By many in government, we are considered the enemy. Because we don't go with the program. We're going with God's program. And while that used to be freedom to choose is not what it used to be no more. Please pray. I want to go back to the text for a minute, though. In this text, I read here in verse 22 what the purpose is. I wish again I could teach the whole chapter. But in verse 22 of chapter 3, it says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now he goes back in the chapter and he tells when the promise started. The promise started back with Abraham before the law was ever given. He quotes where the Lord tells Abraham that the whole world's going to be blessed in his seed, not seeds. He makes that difference here in the chapter. The seed is Jesus Christ. And it's the freedom and the gospel that we have in Jesus that saves us. And the whole purpose of the law is to bring us to see we can't keep the law. We can't make it. We have no righteousness of our own. And when the schoolmaster, that slave, brought that pupil to school, that kid had to face, here is something I need help to get over. I do not already know it all. They're bringing me here to teach me something. And I'm trying to say to you, the schoolmaster here, this slave that portrayed it, the schoolmaster took the kids to learn the answer. And I want to say to you, here it clearly says right here in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Bring us. And that word bring, how accurate the King James is. Bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Here's the point. We're somewhere we have no hope. The schoolmaster says, face the law. You can't live up to it. There's no hope in the law for you. Concludes all under sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. So the schoolmaster says, look at the law. You can't make it. You can't keep it. James said, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. You can't make it to heaven keeping the law. The verse I read said, if there was a law given that could save you, it'd have been given, but it couldn't be. Why was the law given? To tell you and I how lost we are. Amen. In our own efforts, in our own strength. Get the picture just a little bit. I need something else to get me to heaven. I can't get myself there. I can't keep the law. I have sinned. I have broken it. And so the schoolmaster takes me up and says, look at the law. You can't make it. You need help beyond this. Jesus said, I fulfilled the law. Came to fulfill the law. Jesus said that he wanted to be our righteousness. See, we didn't have any righteousness. We none righteous. No, not one. We all sinned. The law condemned us all. We have to look somewhere else for help. Where do we look? If you look into your church membership, it won't do it. If you look into how good you'd be to your neighbor, it won't do it. If you're looking about how many times you've come to a church building, that won't get you to heaven. You got to look further than that. You got to find out that in yourself, you need more than you have. Amen. You need a substitute that was perfect. You need one that provides a righteousness you could not provide yourself. Who is that? Of course, that is Jesus. So the duty of the schoolmaster is to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ. If you're a child of God this morning, it's by faith in Christ. It's not how good you were, how good an effort you made to keep the law. No. Have you got faith in Christ that he kept it for you? That he provided you a righteousness you could not provide on your own? Let me see. Turn on this mic. If it's not on, turn it on, please. I've done this before, but let me do it again. It just comes to my mind right now. For you that might be in radio land but not seeing, we are on the platform up here, and it's three or four steps down to the front of the floor here. I'm going to use an imaginary thing. I'm going to pretend I'm standing on the edge of a chasm, on an edge of a cliff. I'm going to pretend that it's a mile. There's a deep valley of rocks down there, and it'd be a mile before you reach the next mountain peak over here. Can you see that in your mind with me? A big gap. A big gap. Now, when the schoolmaster brings me up here, he's bringing me up to the law. And the law demands perfection. It demands a righteousness that I do not have. It demands to be kept. But if you're going to get across this chasm, if you're going to get across this pit of hell, if you're going to get across to the mountaintop, you've got to be perfect. I come up here, I see the law. The law says you're not perfect. You can't jump this chasm. You can't get across. And I say, well, but I was pretty good to my neighbor. I treated my parents right, and I gave to charity. And okay, go ahead and see how far that jump will carry you. You just toddle off the edge. You fall to your death. It won't make it. Maybe a crippled man comes up with his crutches and he jumps, but he only goes a couple of feet and he falls to his death. Maybe an Olympian runner, jumper comes and boy, here he goes and he jumps 25 feet. But he falls and he's just as dead as the fellow that only fell off 2 foot. Amen. You following me? Amen. I want to tell you, to think your good works is going to span and bridge over for you, you're going to fall dead, lost in your sins, in the pit of hell. You're lost. You don't meet the perfection standard of the law. But there's one that came as a runner to my side, an advocate, a substitute, one that took my place, one that was righteous and never sinned, one that fulfilled the law, never broke it in one point. And he said, let me jump for you. Let me take you across. And when I received him as my Lord and Savior, my substitute, my righteousness, he's taken me all the way across. Heaven on the other side is assured because Jesus took me across. Amen. He is my schoolmaster. Amen. Oh, the schoolmaster said, see the law, you can't make it on your own. I had to face that. See, some of you will never get saved until you know you can't make it on your own. If some of you were honest and I polled you right now, you'd start telling me, I was a pretty good guy. I never mistreated anybody. I never murdered anybody. You're going to fall right over the edge. You're going to crash on the rocks below. The only way you're ever going to be assured of heaven is to know that another picked you up and carried you over in his righteousness. Have you ever received Christ? When you stand before God as the judge, please don't stand there telling him how good you were, all the good things you've done. There's a verse in the Bible that says he'll say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Do you have Jesus? The schoolmaster can bring you up to look at the law. And the law will tell you you have failed and you have
as Renee was singing a while, you don't have any hope in yourself. He's the hope. Have you got him? Have you received him? Was there a time you said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I can't make it? Oh, I personally remember, long time before I ever heard the answer in the gospel, knowing, being honest with myself, that I couldn't make it, that there was no hope for me, that there was no way, no matter how hard I tried, I was failing. And oh, what good news it was. When I walked to the Baptist church and sat on the back row 3 or 4 times and heard a preacher tell about the grace of God, how he loved me while I was yet a sinner. And while there was no hope, he would be my hope. And I remember as clearly as if it was last week, when standing back there in that pew, the Lord said to me, it's now or never. And that may be what some of you have got in your mind right now. Throw away all your ideas that you're going to make it across on your own. You're not. You've faced a law you can't keep. But you can have Jesus. You can have the peace that comes from knowing I'm trusting him and his goodness, his righteousness, what he done when he died for my sins and gave me his righteousness. Do you know what I'm talking about right now? Do you? I pray you do. Answer the question in your heart. Am I trying to cross by myself? Or do I have Jesus? I hope you have him. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we thought on the school thing. Father, you commanded the in the Bible for us to raise our kids, but Father, we can't raise them in the truth if we don't have the truth, if we haven't embraced the truth, if we have not received the one that is the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for the invitation right now. I pray if it be your will that you would save that one that has come to a realization this morning that they've been thinking, well, I'm not as bad as somebody I know, or I'm better than somebody I know. Father, may they see that's not the answer. They can't make it across the gap by themselves. They need Jesus. And I pray this morning, church member, or one that's never joined a church, if they don't have Jesus in their heart, I pray they'd come today and receive him. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. We're going to have an invitation song. We invite you to come receive Christ. Come down the aisle and say, preacher, I'll accept Christ. I'm not ashamed of him. I thank God that he paid a price I couldn't pay to get me across. Will you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am, without one plea.
Will you come? Will you come?
Thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads a moment. The invitation's still open. You can still come and receive Christ. Whatever God's asked you to do, move a church membership or whatever he's put on your heart, you can still do it. Invitation's still open. Folks, as we see the day approaching, Hebrews 10:25 talks about assembling ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. If you know much about your Bible, you know that we're seeing the day approaching, the day of Christ, so much nearer than ever before, so much fulfilled than ever before. And I want to say to you, you got loved ones, you got family, you got friends, this is a good time to point them to Jesus. They see things happening and they don't understand the answers. You and I see things happening. We know we're predicted and we know the answer. But it's a good fertile ground right now to plant the seed of the gospel. Let's take advantage of it. Let's do it. It's been said that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness and do nothing. It's easy for us to curse the darkness today, but we need to be lighting some candles, pointing to the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be doing that more than ever before, probably in your Christian life. We need to tell somebody about the Lord. I hope that you will. All right. Brother Condon, would you come dismiss us in prayer, please?
Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the time to assemble this morning in your house. Father, we thank you for time to separate from the world, and thank you for the opportunity we had to hear preaching this morning. Thank you for the message from the preacher, and Father, just ask that you deal with our hearts, and Father, we just pray that business has been accomplished within our own hearts this morning. Father, pray for maybe an unbeliever this morning that needs peace and salvation that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be that time today before it's too late. Father, for us as believers, help us to be the witness that we ought to be to those around about us, the ones that we love and care about. Father, may much be accomplished this morning for your honor and your glory. Be with us now this afternoon. Help us as we come back tonight. And we're excited about what you have for us here. And we just look forward to tonight's service. We ask now and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.